Record.
Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Katrine with GynZone. We've done a few of these meetings before, and my goal is about once a month just to kind of give some fun updates with GynZone. So, Katrine, tell a little bit about yourself and just a high level of GynZone if nobody's seen the past videos.
Well, thanks for having me here today. My name is Katrina, and I'm the technical lady in GynZone. And we do online courses for midwives, gynecologists, and obstetricians worldwide. If you're not familiar with us yet, you can go to our website, gynzone.com, and start a 7-day free trial with access to all of our online courses. So, new stuff coming up here in the early spring this year. We'll be revamping our entire course on OAC with lots of new clinical video with patients. We have some wonderful recordings of buttonhole defects being repaired and other very nerdy suture feature films. But also a bit of animation and some introductions to our latest training models for training anal sphincter repair.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because in the United States, some midwives do third degree and fourth degree and some don't. And so, I think the reason I connected with you guys, it's almost been 2 years. It's crazy how time goes so fast, but I was looking, okay, do we create some suturing trainings? There's not a lot of on-site. There's limited in the US. And then when I stumbled upon your website, I was like, oh my goodness, we have to promote GynZone in the United States. The midwives, it's a little bit of our training as midwives, but it's not the main part. And then when you go get a job, you're doing the births, they'll watch you catch the baby and they're like, okay, you're competent. And they don't watch the suturing. They don't give up a very in-depth, or they make assumptions of what you can do. And so suturing is and we've talked about in other videos, just the long-term complications. Sarah talked about just not proper suturing. So I am very, very excited for this relationship with you guys. And you've been open since 2008. You've got so many wonderful things and you're always growing. It's not like, okay, we've made this max level of courses and videos. You're always adding new products. You're always expanding. You guys are always, how do we bridge the gaps, not just in Scandinavia and Europe, but around the world. So kudos to you guys. I would love to know about some of these webinars, because I think that's a great starting point for the US midwives. Yes, the time zone's a little bit challenging, but they're free and it could be a good teaser into if you don't want to commit to a membership.
Yeah, we when the whole COVID situation started happening, all of a sudden we found ourselves unable to travel to do the hands-on training that we also do mainly in Northern Europe. But occasionally abroad as well. And so we started doing webinars, and we have continued to do this throughout COVID and will continue to do so. We call it GynZone Live, and it's these one-hour sessions. We do them in the evening time in Denmark. So for you guys in the US, it will be sort of morning, noon-ish, depending on continent. Yeah. And the format is that we have a clinical rock star, researcher, inventor, someone with an interesting story to tell. And we give them an hour where they can use 30 to 45 minutes to speak about their topic of expertise. And then we have half an hour to 15 minutes to have questions from the participants. And we record every webinar and we make the recording available on GynZone. So in case you miss the live session, you can still dock in to see the recording. And they do come, if you participate in the live event, they do come with a certificate an attendance certificate. Yeah. In case you're gathering points for your continuing education. And the ones we have coming up here in February and March will be OAC related. So it will be about prevention of OAC. It will be about repair. will be about early secondary.
You want to use the acronym for everyone. What is OAC, just if there's some people?
Obstetric anal sphincter injury. Okay. So basically the big and nasty birth lacerations.
Okay. Thank you.
So we'll have a whole series of webinars here in the spring within this topic. We have some wonderful doctors and physiotherapists coming on telling us about long-term consequences and rehabilitation, training as opposed to surgical repairs.
Well, I know there was even just the wound healing too. Like I was helping you to connect with some people on LinkedIn. Yeah. And, so it's very cool because it's great for suturing training, but you guys are all pelvis. You're all like delivery and reducing tears and promoting healing, like everything that has to do. I mean, and that's the perfect name, Guide Zone. So
we do take a broad approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, even like on Thanksgiving, you had lichen sclerosis, which stuck out to me because of my personal history. And so like you really are diving into all these medical conditions and treatment options and things available for women that are suffering for vaginal conditions. So, I mean, it's amazing what you guys are doing and expanding into. Do you have like, so the webinars, are they like once a month? Are they every couple of weeks? How would they find them?
This year, we're aiming for about twice a month.
Okay. And I'll definitely get that link from you that we'll put at the bottom of the description so that they can go to GynZone and find those webinars scheduled.
Yeah, it's GynZone.com/events.
Okay, easy. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So no, I have been so excited about what you guys are doing and growing. How many are on your team right now? Like I know you have a board and Sarah and you are kind of on, Sarah Kinberg does the clinical. She's the one with a PhD in suturing and you're the expert in the technical side of the backdrop. So you guys have such an amazing team there.
We have an amazing and rather lean team at the moment because it's Sarah and I who are doing keeping the whole thing going. And then we have this wonderful circle of both freelancers that we contract with about video editing and web development and app development and all this. And we have a wonderful team of medical professionals who are our rock stars and who help us out with the development of the content. Last night, we had a meeting with two urogynecologists, PhDs, and senior consultants about this quiz that we're building about our OAC chapter. So we were going reviewing all of our questions with them and should this be the right answer or how should we rephrase that? And can we use another image or another video? And
yeah.
So we have a ton of wonderful people that we draw upon.
To make you leverage the best of the best when you're making your videos and content, that is for sure. Like it's world class. And so I do stress to everyone just to check it out and see if there's anything. I mean, a 7-day free trial. And even you and I had joked on the sidelines, I'm like, you guys are too cheap for what you offer. I mean, compared to relatively speaking other memberships, I'm like the value they're getting out of, I mean, it's like $12. Like it's just dirt cheap for a monthly rate. I know you guys had recently changed, so I was trying to remember the amount.
And we want to be accessible for students.
That's
true. Because we're passionate about the clinical impact of this and about women's health. And we need to run a business as well because we need to finance all the next stuff that we want to develop. But first and foremost, we're concerned about having impact. So we like to keep the price at an affordable rate for students as well.
So I one of my questions I was going to do in a separate interview, but we could do today, you broke up into, like, how has Gynezone changed the suturing culture since 2008? I would love to hear, like, particularly in Scandinavia and just the healthcare system, what impact have you guys noticed that you've done? I think it's very inspirational when people are thinking of starting businesses or have an idea and don't realize the ripple effect it can create.
Well, there has been quite a few changes. Back when we started, the whole curriculum in midwifery schools was a bit on the slim side, to put it nicely. So you would do, you know, diagnosis, classification, choice of suture material, needles, and actual repairs. You would do that within like a one day thing. And to me, performing surgery on people's genitals deserves better. It's such an important thing. And hopefully people who go about and give birth will live for 50, 60, 70 years and on with these very same parts. And they should have all the fun with them that they're owed throughout this lifetime. So it was very much a feminist issue to improve this. And Sarah, our founder, completed her PhD about suturing techniques. She's a midwife and then did her PhD on second degree repair and different techniques for that. And what she found out was that one of the most important variables in the outcome of the repair was whether the operator stated that they liked suturing. Your stitches didn't matter as much. Your choice of suture material didn't matter as much. The most important thing was whether you felt confident in doing the job. And since education was very lightweight, very few clinicians felt confident in performing this repair. So Sarah set out to teach clinicians to learn to like suturing.
Yeah. And I personally am one of those ones. It's one of those where the less you do it or the less exposure you are, like I tell the story to students. I'm like, the first year I couldn't even talk to my patient while I was suturing because I'm so nervous. My voice quivered. And so like this trauma that we as healthcare practitioners, because it is such a serious, you know, the pressure, you know? So yes, I wholeheartedly agree with you.
And you have this whole culture, as you said, you were too nervous to have a conversation. But if someone had taught you that you could practice your routine, your clinical skills, your everything on something else, not on someone who just gave birth.
Yeah.
You know, when you feel confident, you can handle your instrument, you can tie your knots with your hands behind your back at 4 o'clock in the morning with no coffee, then you're good to go and start doing work with patients, but not before.
And that's just years of, unfortunately in the US, that's after years of experience. That's that the practice is those first few years as a new graduate and hoping you're having good preceptors and mentors that when you're in that early stage, they're teaching you the proper techniques. Like that's the vulnerable. And then once you get experience, everybody just assumes you know how to do it. And so when you get a new job, that's not the main, they're checking your yes, you're able to catch a baby. They're not, it's rare that they're following your suturing techniques anymore.
Yeah. Marlene Hegenberger, the midwife who invented the Hegenberger speculum, has this wonderful way of phrasing it that she sees the diagnostics and repair postpartum as sort of a stage of the birth in and of itself.
Yeah.
And she urges the clinician to make a change of mind and a change of scenery. That now we're done with the birthing and everything went well and everything's wonderful. So now we go and have a glass of juice and get the shoulders down and then we go back in to do a great job on the diagnosis and on the repair. But to think about it as a thing in its own right.
Yeah. A separate identifiable phase of taking care of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not something to get over with along with the journal and changing of the bedding.
Yeah. So as far as changes, I know when Sarah and I had talked, just the mindset shift and the level, how many users do you guys have now? And just the mindset of, because even just Sarah and I talked about taking pictures and educating the family afterwards and the patient involvement in the healing process, just the shift of how people are treating the suturing process and the healing process.
Well, Sarah and some of her clinician rock star friends made this postnatal clinic in a local university hospital, and they're checking up on healing and evaluating whether the stitches succeeded in all women who give birth. And we have in Aarhus University Hospital about 5,000 per year. So over the course of they started in 2013. So they've seen quite a few bottoms over these years. And the women and the partners evaluate this really highly, that they feel taken seriously as people who have had surgery. Mm-hmm. And the clinicians value it very highly because they know that if something wasn't right, they will be told and they will have help improving. Yeah. So the people working in the hospital feel safe in that they have good support from their colleagues, and it's a good learning environment.
Yeah. Well, and especially compared to when Sarah and you tell the stories of what it's like in Europe with the postpartum follow-up and the suturing, it's just such a different culture in the United States. Physicians and midwives alike don't get very strong suturing training. And just the few times that the patients come in postpartum and have suturing issues or it breaks down or there's gaps, it's all not a big deal. We'll repair it with some reconstructive surgery in a few months once it's all done healing. It's not that aggressive model of postnatal follow-up. And I would love to see that culture here. But like you said, we've got to get down to the basic education and knowing and perceiving it as a surgery and it needs follow-up recovery and that it needs to be even just clinician evaluation. There's no on a national level, really in-depth follow-up to say, yep, not just now you repaired them properly, but what did it look like the next day and new orientees? There's no follow-up evaluations at all here. So,
and there's also a change of sort of considering this to be a feminist issue in leadership in hospitals in Denmark, because if you approach the CEOs, the leaders in the hospital and say, well, if you gave birth and your penis fell off and we tried repairing it, but it fell off again, how would you feel about us saying, well, you can always sit down to pee and you have this wonderful baby, so maybe we look into it in 6 months, or maybe when you've had the babies that you're going to have,
you're completely done. When all the trauma,
and it's just, it becomes so surreal because you would never do that to men. It's unimaginable, it's laughable. But it's very much the case for women many places in the world.
Excited, for what you and GynZone are doing for changing the face of suturing and just the awareness of the pelvic floor for women. So thank you so much for that, Katrine.
Well, thank you for helping us spread the word in the States.
You have a wonderful day.